It's now's the time.
Good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people.
For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Saviour. Who is he? He's Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign for you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And I'd also like to read from Luke 4, 16 to 21. So we've moved on a bit in the story now. Jesus has grown up, he's been baptized, he's been into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil, and he's coming back. He comes back to Galilee, and news of him is spreading, his ministry has begun. So in verse 16 it says, So Jesus came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on a Sabbath day and stood up to read. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery of sight for the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Then he closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. This is why it's good news. How can we know that this message is good news? How do we know that the rule of God is good news? The way we know the rule of God is good news is because Jesus is announcing his manifesto here in the scripture. Now the definition of a manifesto is a written statement declaring publicly the intentions, motives or views of its issuer. So he's just announcing his intentions. And because this is a unique announcement, it's through the scriptures, it's Jesus declaring, because he's God in the flesh, he's declaring what he's going to do. He's declaring the rule of God. He's declaring the purposes of God. And if you look at his purposes, as I mentioned in one of the talks, God actually offers us a trade. And this is the specific details of what the trade from God is. Basically, God comes to the earth and says, You guys have sinned, and you guys have rebelled, and you've blown it, but I'm going to give you my son, so you can be forgiven of your rebellion. Now, if you receive my son, I will give you right standing before me. That's what God says. That's the good news of Jesus. As it says in Scripture, in him who knew no sin, that's Jesus, became sin, that's our sin, that we might become the righteousness of God. So we give God our sin, he gives us his right standing. And it's an amazing trade, it's an amazing deal. We just need to receive the gift. That's why it's good news. It's amazing. It's just beyond words that God would come in the flesh as a humble babe, grow up, and declare and say, This is what I'm going to do. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to free you from poverty. I'm going to free you from brokenness. I'm going to free you from captivity. I'm going to free you from blindness. And I'm going to free you from oppression. I'll tell you what, says Jesus, give me your poverty. I will give you heavenly treasure. Give me your captivity and I will give you freedom. Give me your brokenness and I will give you fullness of joy. Give me blindness and oppression and I will give you light, identity and purpose. That's Jesus. He's amazing. He's amazing. That word amazing, I wish it had 300 other definitions right now. I don't have them in my notes. It's just wonderful who God is. And I don't know what lies you believe, because I certainly believe lies in my life, but that's not the case. I will have to do something, I'll have to work something, I'll have to make something before God can love me. And God says, no, there's nothing you can make, do or say that will make me love you. I love you, here's my son, because you're covered in sin. I can't get you close to me if you're covered in sin. So tell you what, I'm going to give you my son and give you my righteousness if you receive my son. It's just amazing. And the awesome thing is that it becomes even better, because once we receive righteousness, we can then help others to become righteous. We can then help others to be free from captivity. We can then help others to be free from poverty. We can help others to be free from blindness. We can help others to be free so they can see the light and they can have identity and purpose. That's the fullness of the manifesto right there. So we receive this glory, we live this glory, and we build this glory. We receive the Jesus manifesto for ourselves. That is so important. That's a salvation experience. That you receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Saviour, and you get reconciled to God. Then you live for Jesus. And effectively, living for Jesus, but simply, is being reminded and affirmed of what happened when you received it. A lot of our Christian life is about going back and being reminded of His love for us. Going back and having His love for us affirmed. And then as you're receiving and living this thing out, you begin to understand, actually, there's other people around you who aren't working this out. There's people around you that are hurt and they need help. And through the receiving and living, you're actually equipped and built up by the kingdom, by the rule of God, by Jesus, by the Holy Spirit, by the presence of God, to help others. And it's an amazing call that we have. And I believe that this manifesto, this declaration of Jesus, is significant for the body of Christ in this hour. And I believe it's significant for us as a church. I believe this manifesto is basically our purpose for being here. That we would gather together and receive Him in worship like we've done this morning. And we would learn together as a group in unity how to live this thing out. And then we would, as a group, become a force for the kingdom of God and the rule of God to take this manifesto out into our workplaces, into our schools, into our universities, into our homes. Wherever you find yourself, that's where Jesus wants these purposes, the rule of God, to be manifested. Because Jesus passes this manifesto on to the disciples in a unique way in Luke 9. And then in Acts, He passes it on to the church. And that's us. We are called to receive this amazing truth. We are called to live this amazing truth. And we're called to build this amazing truth for His glory in His power. And I really believe specifically under the umbrella of our vision as a church is we are a family-friendly church aiming to be voluntary, extravagant, wholehearted lovers of God. That's the umbrella of why we're here. Family-friendly church aiming to be voluntary, extravagant, wholehearted lovers of God. And I believe Jesus' manifesto in Luke 4, this announcement, is specifically what we're supposed to be doing. And it's been going on before we came here, and we want to continue it and zoom in and actually look at what it means to do this. What does it mean for us? Receive, what does it mean? So we're thinking receiving, living, and building. Receiving, living, and building. So what does it mean to receive the Jesus manifesto? What does it mean? Well, if you notice that Jesus is announcing from the scriptures in the power of the Spirit. He announces that He's going to be empowered by the Spirit. You and I are called as followers of Jesus Christ to live our lives in word and spirit. We are called to base our whole lives on Jesus, the Bible, empowered by the Spirit. That's our call. And it's going to look different for you and I. It's going to look different whatever situation you're in, whatever family circumstance, if you're single or married or anything in between and around. It will probably look different. It won't look exactly the same for each and every one of us. But somehow we have to accept that we are called to live in a fusion of word and spirit, meaning that we are called to to eat. Jesus said, we don't live by bread alone, but by the word of God. And that's not just the word, that's not just reading a chapter of the Bible and then getting on with your day. It's actually revelatory words of God. It's actually meeting Jesus through the scriptures in the power of the Holy Spirit. And don't let anyone tell you you can't. Just because you haven't been to Bible college or you haven't been in ministry for years or whatever, whatever you're doing, you are called as a follower of Jesus Christ to have your life based on word and spirit, and it is possible. Because Jesus says it is so. So that's what we receive. We receive the privilege of living a life based on word and spirit. It's an honour. Now essentially we have to, because we're Christians and we wander and we make mistakes and we need reminding, we need direction. But don't look at it like you have to. Look at it as a privilege. We are privileged to open the scriptures and open our hearts to Jesus. If it's 5 minutes in the morning, 10 minutes in the morning, half an hour in the morning, half an hour at night, sometime in your lunch break, just eat something and ask the Lord to reveal to you throughout the day. It's when God tells Joshua to meditate night and day on the Bible. I'm looking at that thinking, how on earth can anyone do that? But you might get away with it in ministry or Bible college, but you can't just walk around meditating. Excuse me, I'm not going to help you with your pastoral or my meditating on the scriptures. I don't think it means that. I think it means you just get a taste of God in the Word and the Spirit and you meditate on it throughout the day, wherever you are. And it's available, it's a privilege. Now, so he announces it through the scripture. And then he says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me. We can't do this without knowing the Lordship of Christ in our lives. We need to know the Lordship of Christ in our lives. We need to walk in the anointing of the Holy Spirit. We need to walk in intimacy with God. Then he says, to preach the gospel to the poor. Now, what does that mean to receive this? Basically, it just means coming into a salvation experience. And many of us here are Christians, and the salvation experience is not to be sniffed at. It's amazing how we can actually receive what Jesus is declaring. He's saying, I've come to preach the gospel to the poor. Those of us who are saved have received that in our hearts. That's what we need to do, is receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Saviour. We receive the pure and simple truth that Jesus died on the cross. And because when we believe in that, we give him our sin and he gives us his righteousness, as I've said before. It's just an amazing thing. I've got a huge list of things that I could talk about. Like, we receive eternal life by being born again of the Spirit. You and I will never die. Jesus said we won't taste death. Eternal life is ours. We give our death, he gives us life. It's amazing. We receive new life and our spirit is alive and one with Jesus. It talks about that in Deuteronomy, Ezekiel and the Gospel of John. And we actually receive a tangible shift in how we see God. When you receive the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, you receive a tangible, spirit-filled perspective shift on how you see God, yourself and others. And it's a work of God. It's awesome. How do we receive healing of the brokenhearted? God gives us a new heart. When you receive this manifesto for yourself, God gives you a new heart. It says in Ezekiel that basically we give God our heart of stone, he gives us a heart of flesh. We give him a heart of deadness, and he gives us a soft heart. What an exchange. Have my heart of stone, and then you give me a new heart. It's wonderful. That is bringing healing to the brokenhearted. And we begin relationship with Jesus, who is committed to our healing. It says in the Psalm, he heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. So when you receive Jesus, when you receive Jesus' purposes, you are opening yourself up to having your wounds healed. It's wonderful. And amazing. To proclaim liberty to the captives, we receive freedom from captivity to sin. We are no longer captive to sin. Recovery of sight to the blind. We receive relationship with Jesus. Now our spiritual eyes are popped open. And we can see things through Jesus. We become born again and our spiritual blindness is healed and made well. We now walk as children of light. So that many times, Ephesians, Thessalonians, John, we you and I as children of God, we're walking as children of light. We're not of the darkness, we're children of light. And John actually, in John 9, actually says that Jesus heals actual physical blindness. Which is, you know, the whole subject of healing is like, wow. You know, Jesus is passing this manifesto on to the church. First the disciples, in that time, then us. Are we called to pray for the sick? I believe we are. I've seen people healed, I've seen people not healed. But the fact is, Jesus' manifesto says, I want to empower you to go and heal people.
Amen.
So we keep going. That's the point. We don't give up. We don't get offended by God when he doesn't do exactly what we do, what we want him to do. And that's happened to me before. I'm sure it's happened to you, but we are called to do this. He says, he wants to set at liberty those who are oppressed. He wants to set free those who are downtrodden. That's what that means. And what happens when you receive Jesus is you get elevated from the gutter to relationship with God. That's what happens. And it's his work. You get taken from the gutter into relationship with God. And I have put in my notes, I was thinking, shall I say it, shall I not? I've come up with a phrase. We go from done to some. Maybe I shouldn't have said that. But reception of the rule of God is done now, thank you Jesus. Reception of the rule of God elevates us into sonship, daughtership. It elevates us. We're not in the gutter anymore. We're elevated into relationship with God. And it's a wonderful truth. That's what happens when you receive Jesus' manifesto. And he says, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And we had George Bruce's sermon on the Jubilee. I'd recommend you go back to see some of that. But essentially what it means, we receive Jesus, totally undeserved, and the door is always open. Every year is the Lord's favour. Every moment of every day, the door is open. To receive Jesus. Today is the day of salvation. And I would say to you, if you're not convinced you're in relationship with God, if you're still in the gutter and you want to be lifted up, if you've got sin you want to give to him and receive his righteousness, I would say, please come and see me afterwards. And I would love to pray with you and help you through that process. And it's essentially praying to receive a gift. So essentially, receiving the Jesus manifesto, the summary is, be reconciled to God. That's the summary of how you receive Jesus' manifesto. Be reconciled to God. Be in a right relationship with God. Accept this offer of his Son. It's a declaration. It's proclaiming, listen, the Son is here for you to receive. He's here. Preaching. Here it is. The message is Jesus has come. The message of Christmas. The good news is Jesus has come. Just receive him. And he will take your sin and give you right standing with God. So that's a summary of how we receive. So how do we live this rule of God? How do we live the kingdom of God? How do we live this manifesto? Well, as I said earlier, essentially, living is being reminded and affirmed of what happened to you when you received. That's the foundation. I don't know how many times I've forgotten that I'm loved by God. I don't know if I'm the only one. But you tend to think, well, I've done that, so now that's going to happen. And you forget the gospel. And actually, by centering your life around the Word and the Spirit, you're actually opening the door to have more affirmation from God. And you're reminded more frequently the more you position yourself to be reminded. And did you know, when it comes down to that, I'm going to go through that, Word and Spirit. Remember I talked about having a life based on words. Did you know that Jesus offers us this? You can give him your intimidation of the scriptures, and he will give you revelation. I don't know how many times I've met Christians who are intimidated by the Word. I've been intimidated by the Word too. But you know what? My only boast is Christ. Jesus has freed me from that. It's a big book. There's lots of context. There's lots of things people debate about. There's lots of things people don't understand. Frankly, most of us don't speak the language that it was originally written in, so there's always going to be some kind of challenges. But the fact is that Jesus says to you, no. If you receive me, if you receive my good news that I want you to be reconciled with me, receive me, be in relationship with me, give me your intimidation of understanding the scriptures, and I will breathe life into you and show you there's layer upon layer upon layer upon layer for you. Don't be intimidated by the scriptures. Sit humbly before the word. Carve out time to do so. And say, Jesus, I don't understand this. Give it to him. And he will give you revelation. It's amazing. The Bible was written for people like you and I, ordinary people. It wasn't specifically written for academics and scholars. Now, there's loads of things to get academic and scholarly about. But this Bible is here for us to know him. That's how I approach my Bible. I want to read this to know him. I've learned not to approach the Bible to get a sermon. I want to approach the Bible to know him, and I'll tell you what I feel he's telling me. He's our friend. This is a doorway to Jesus. Don't be intimidated by it. As I said, man can't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And this is how you do it. It's through the scriptures. Come to church expectant. It will help you live the Jesus manifesto. Come to church. Look what happened today. I just felt more expectant. And I believe if we raise expectations, we'll see more of God. I go to a leadership school, as many of you will know, part of Christ Central, 2 days a month in Sheffield. Long days of teaching and learning about Jesus. And one of the questions we asked the teacher was, like, how do we get more of God in our services? Because, you know, we want God in our services. We want God to move. We want His Spirit to move. And he said, you know what, biblically, one of the ways to get God to move is expectation. It doesn't mean that we've made God do anything. It means that we'll turn up expecting to see God move. It's a powerful thing because, you know, our Father is ready to pour out His blessing, reveal to us week after week to help us live this thing, day after day. If we expect to hear from Him, you'll be surprised. How do we live preaching the gospel to the poor? Well, individually, we continue in a lifestyle of repentance, meaning we're constantly going back to God and saying, Lord, I need you, I need you. You're opening your heart to a lifestyle of dependence. Because the rule of God demands a lifestyle of dependence on Him. That's what I'm discovering. It's what the scriptures say. Essentially, the rule of God will demand that you depend on God. It's uncomfortable. It's scary. You get pushed out of your comfort zone. But the rewards of the joy and fellowship with Jesus, to the upward call of God in Christ, are eternally far better than being pushed out of your comfort zone and challenged from time to time. In the Beatitudes, Jesus says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And the kingdom of heaven, as I mentioned before, is interchangeable with the kingdom of God and the rule of God. So the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, and the rule of God is essentially the same thing. So Jesus is saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the rule of God. What does that mean? That means essentially that when we understand that we are dependent on God and we can't live with Him, we can't live without Him, we can't breathe without Him, we can't move without Him, we can't do anything without Him, when we understand that, we're understanding the rule of God. How do we live healing the brokenhearted? Make Christ the center of your life. Make Christ the center of your life. What does that mean? Well, again, it will look different for each and every one of us, but for me, I give the Lord the first of everything. That's my principle, to make Christ the center of my life. I give Him the first of my time. I give him the first of my money. I give him the first of my eyes. I give him the first of my mouth. The principle of first fruits for me is broken in to allow Jesus to be centre of my life. And the rewards are amazing. It does feel uncomfortable at times. And I don't always hit the mark. But that is one principle for you and I to make Christ centre of our lives. Give him the first of everything. Watch what he does with it. Watch. It's amazing. And practically get connected as well. If you've got a broken heart and you're living your life, you want to live a life based upon having your heart healed, get connected. Continue to come to church. Find a home group. Seek help and be willing to accept the help. Because sometimes healing of a broken heart can happen just like that. Sometimes it takes time. And if you connect yourself with people, God will move. He loves fellowship. He loves it when we get together. Proclaiming liberty to the captives. How do we live this? Having received Jesus, continue to accept the truth that you're a child of God. Put up posters around your house if you have to. I've had a thing in my mirror for months saying, God's son. And when I look into that mirror, I look and say, you are God's son. And still I would wake up in the morning and forget, not even look at it sometimes. So we need to be reminded. And whatever helps, I told you before, I've got a prayer shawl. I've got a prayer shawl. And in the morning, when I pray, I put the shawl on as a symbol of acceptance from God. You know, the prodigal son, when the father runs to him and he puts the robes on. Every morning, I'm just like, I'm accepted. And the putting on the prayer shawl doesn't make me accepted. It's what it symbolises. It just reminds me. It reminds me that I'm accepted by Jesus. And it doesn't have to be a prayer shawl. It can be a rug. Just walk, you know, you can do this. Just come into my mind now. Every time you put your coat on, pretend it's you being accepted by the father. Just put it on, I'm accepted. This is the robe given to me. Thank you, Jesus. It's things like that. Every time you get in the car, I'm accepted. I'm accepted by Jesus Christ because I've received him, I've given him my sin, and now I'm righteous. I have right standing before God. And things will open up to you because the space taken up in your mind for self-condemnation, there's now space for Jesus to come in and give you revelation and guidance and whatever you're called to do. Because imagine the space in your mind. Imagine all the things that you've condemned yourself with. And then you take that out. For some of us, it's a huge space. So what's going to fill that? Jesus has got lots to fill it with. Recovery of sight to the blind. How do we live that? You know what? D.A. Carson, who's a theologian, and quite heavy theologians, and he's like really clever. He says this: the aim is never to become a master of the Bible, but to be mastered by it. Our spiritual blindness is healed by becoming dependent on Jesus through his word. Allowing the word to heal us. Allowing the word to open our eyes. Liberty for those who are oppressed and downtrodden. Again, these things keep coming up. Continue to receive the truth about who you are. You see, the world and the devil will tell you that you're in the gutter. You know that phrase, don't let anyone tell you that? Well, actually, it's too late after they told you that. Isn't it? Well, I would have not let them, because I didn't want to hear it say that I'm useless and downtrodden and in the gutter. But now they've said it, how can I not let them say it? They've already said it. So it's not about not letting people. People will tell you you're not worth anything. People are going to say that to you. People are going to tell you you're in the gutter. People are going to tell you that you're not good enough. People will tell you that. But the fact is, when you engage with Jesus, don't accept it. Constantly remind yourself about who heaven says you are. It's what heaven says you are. That's why you can have people washing dishes and they're famous in heaven. That's why you can have people and they seemingly look like they're in the world's eyes, they're not doing anything. They're not successful. They've got rubbish, low pay income, or they're mowing lawns, or they're cleaning, or they're dustmen. But actually, some of these people are gloriously known in heaven because they know Jesus and they're communing with Him. It's who heaven says you are. And heaven says you are sons and you are daughters. Heaven says, I'm a son. And you declare that to yourself. And you declare that to your mirror. And you declare that. Living to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour. Living life in the age of grace is what we're in now. We're in the age of God's favour. We're in the age of salvation being today. But there's a funny thing about God's favour in that actually it doesn't mean everything's going to go well all the time. You need to know that. Look at Joseph in the Bible. It said God's favour was on him. Then he was thrown in a pit by his brothers. Then he was sold into slavery. God's favour on him. Then he was put in prison. And those prisons would have been horrific. People would have died in prison. That's God's favour. But look at how it ended. Ruler over Egypt. And he was a redeemer. And he had to walk. I'm sure there were days he was thinking, God's favour. You gave me dreams, you gave me gifts, and I'm here in prison. So we do well to understand that sometimes favour can press you down and test you and put you in places that you wish you never were. But that's why you need to keep living connected with Jesus. Because if you turn back, that's when your focus is off. Now you're not living in God's purposes, and it'll take twice as long to be redeemed to get to the good bit at the end. So essentially, a summary for us about living the Jesus Manifesto is continually revisiting and reminding ourselves. Did you know how encouraging it is when you turn up to church for others? It's not a case of getting you to come to church. It's a case of when you turn up, it's encouraging for others. So how do we build this thing? Because a lot of the time when you're following Jesus, it can seem like it's inward looking. You're receiving, you're living. I've spoken a lot about how we receive Jesus for ourselves. But obviously the Kingdom Manifesto, the Jesus Manifesto, the rule of God wants to build outside as well. It wants to flow outside and be built in our communities. You know what, I'm going to be perfectly honest here. I don't know the answer. I could have made a few bullet points and said, you know what, this is how we do it. We don't have to say a load of religious phrases that I sometimes say. And it's like, we've just got to focus on Jesus and get out there. It's like, well, what does that mean? I don't have all the answers. But we need to investigate. That's part of what we're doing as a leadership team. We're investigating how to put some meat on these bones. How to take, I don't have all the answers, I said, but what I do know is this. Unless the Lord builds the house, we are wasting our time. That's why I put so much emphasis on intimacy with God. About receiving from God and living my life and our lives centered around Christ. Because if you can't hear what God is doing and leading and saying, you could end up building things that aren't even His kingdom. And we don't want to do that. Unless the Lord builds the house, it says in Scripture, those who build it labour in vain. So I'm just going to close with a few points about building and then we'll pray. Word and Spirit. We're open and honest about our struggles with Scripture. We're open and honest about our struggles with Jesus. How do we preach the gospel to the poor? Preaching is not limited to what I'm doing now. Preaching is a declaration of truth. You can do that in a coffee shop, you can do that at work, you can do that in a taxi, you can do that with friends and family. One phrase I've found to build God's kingdom is you can tell people it doesn't have to be this way for you. That's how you can build someone up. That's how you can build the kingdom. Introduce God's kingdom. When they are struggling and they don't know Jesus and they haven't even heard of Jesus, you can say, do you know what? It doesn't have to be this way for you. And it will open up questions. Why? Why does it have to be this way? Well, you know, it's not that way for me because I know Jesus. And you'll be faithful. Tangible demonstrations of giving what we can. Food bank. Sometimes it gets real practical. The children's toys at Christmas. Those things matter. They are building his kingdom. They are building the rule of God in the community. When you do that. And you know, just to summarise, actually I could go through some more, but I think this is going to turn into a paper, because on Wednesday, I think it was, I was spending time with the Lord, and just all this stuff was coming out. And I've spent the rest of the week thinking, how am I going to cram this all in? So that's where I'm at. But essentially, the summary is, for how to build his kingdom, is the things that you're going through now, that you're struggling with, your prison, if you like, I believe God is going to actually use those, heal you through that, so you can then help others going through the same thing. If you're struggling with depression, I believe that if you receive Jesus' manifesto in Luke 4, and you continue to build your life around Jesus, he will begin to heal you, break through, and then you will find yourself in 6 months, a year, 2 years, helping people with depression. It doesn't have to be this way for you. If you're struggling in your finances, I believe the Lord will be opening doors to you to be helped, to teach you how, when you center your life around Christ, and there's lots you can say about that, but who knows, in 2 years' time, you could be helping someone with their finances. So the point is, building the kingdom, a foundational word, I believe, for God, from God today, is that we would take what we are struggling with, give it to the Lord, he will give us right standing with him, he will give us healing, and he will actually be equipping us in that process to help others who have been going through the same thing. Now, it's worth noting that when Jesus announced his manifesto, if you read on, they tried to throw him off a cliff. So don't think that this is, wow, we found it, finally we've noticed Luke 4, everything's going to go well, everything's going to go perfect, everyone's going to get it now, everyone who speaks at work, coffee shop, buses, taxis, they're all going to receive Jesus like that. Now I pray for that, I want that, I expect that, but at the same time we need to understand that Jesus brought the most amazing truth to the planet and they tried to throw him off a cliff. So there will be challenging times ahead, there will be times when people will be offended. But that's when, if you've got Jesus as the centre of your life, you can take communion and say, you know, I've received forgiveness, I release forgiveness. It's the only way. Through communion with Jesus, you can't just say, apart from Jesus, I forgive this. There's no power in it. When you're at the cross and the blood and you think, goodness me, look what he did for me. Your heart changes for other people. I've said before, God can change your heart for other people so you can see other people the way God sees them. It's a work of the Spirit. My hope and prayer is that as we gather, we would learn to receive Jesus in simple and pure devotion. And Sundays, our flagship service at the moment, is the time when we're receiving together as a corporate body. And we would learn to live Jesus in our workplaces. It wouldn't just be confined to here. You know what? We often talk about leaking, don't we? I want to be filled with the Spirit, but I leak throughout the week, so I need to be filled up again. But I think we should be filled with the Spirit and leak the kingdom. We should be leaking the kingdom. Then we get filled up, back to Jesus, receive, receive, leak the kingdom. Leak the glory of God. Leak the love of God. Leak the forgiveness of God. Leak the mercy of God. Leak the truth of God. Leak the justice of God. And then we build Jesus. I pray that we would learn how to build Jesus here in this community. Practical works, practical helps, new initiatives. And the glory is that all of this happens at the same time. You don't have to learn everything about receiving Jesus before you can live Jesus. You don't have to learn everything about receiving Jesus and living Jesus before you can feel Jesus. It all happens at the same time, which means all of us, wherever we're at, we can begin afresh. And so, Father, I pray. Jesus, I pray, Lord, that each and every heart in this room this morning has been touched by you. I pray, Lord, that you would seal everything that you've done in this place this morning, from when we came in this building to when we're going to leave. Lord, I pray you would seal it in Jesus' name. I thank you that your blood speaks a better word. I pray that, Holy Spirit, you would help us to receive you, receive your purposes. Holy Spirit, help us to live you and live your purposes. Holy Spirit, help us as a community to build your purposes here on earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. It's nearly 12:30. If anyone wants to speak to me about anything, please come up the front. The door is open, and we're going to have tea, coffee, for the usual, and the kids will be coming in here to rehearse. So have a great day, and be blessed. In Jesus' name. Amen.